welcome to the Firm Report.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Firm Report. Today is a true honor. We have Mr. Crump, Black America's Attorney General, sitting with us today. Thank you so much.
It's an honor to be with you, Zach.
I just greatly appreciate it. It's a huge opportunity to just have the chance to sit down with you and learn just more about what drives you and what brings you to MTMP, all the, you know, at this conference.
Yes,
and
sir.
The way that you inspire and share your story, and you have left a huge imprint on society. And you are not done yet. Your work is just begun.
Well, we're in this together, brother. As Dr. King said, we all have a role to play in this struggle for liberty and equality for all.
And so I understand that you are the author of the book, Worse Than a Lie.
Yes.
And we'd love to learn more about what inspired you to write this book.
Certainly. Worse Than a Lie is my debut novel. I am very grateful to the public because it made the New York Times bestsellers list 2 weeks in a row, which is a pretty big deal for a first-time fiction novelist. And, you know, the reason I was inspired to write this book, Zach, was because my personal hero, Thurgood Marshall, once said that most people will never know what really happens in a courtroom where you're fighting for liberty and justice for marginalized people. He said, especially Black people. And so he said that's why he would write his memorandums of law and his briefs and his pleadings to be very engaging, because he wanted to entice people to read and be educated and learn about their constitutional rights and criminal procedure, civil procedure. And so I said to myself, what can be more engaging than a legal thriller? I mean, John Grisham, the Rainmaker, and Michael Connelly, the Lincoln Lawyer, they write these legal thrillers every year, and they sell tens of millions of books. Mm-hmm. So I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a legal thriller, but it's going to be a civil rights legal thriller, because now more than ever in America, we need to understand how valuable and important civil rights truly are for every American.
For every American, everybody, and everybody is created equal, and it all needs to, you know, foundationally be respected and enforced.
And right now we have to remind people of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equally, that they're all endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that amongst them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We got to remind the powers that be in America today that all men are created equally.
Definitely. And so what does the title mean to you?
Yeah, you know, Worse Than a Lie is a title that I was very intentional about. When you write fiction novels, it allows you to be very intentional, unlike nonfiction, but you can lead the reader where you want them to go. And so I grew up watching Perry Mason with my grandmother. Thurgood Marshall made me want to be a lawyer, but it was actually watching episodes of Perry Mason that informed me what lawyers actually do. So I said, you know, Perry Mason, you have Ben Matlock, as I said, the Rainmaker, the Lincoln Lawyer. You have all these superhero trial lawyers, and I kept waiting for them to write about a Black superhero trial lawyer. And we kept waiting and waiting, but they never did it. So I said, well, I guess God is telling me I got to do it myself. And that's what I did with Worse Than a Lie. And I wanted it to be authentic, and I wanted it to have a lot of my life experiences fighting in courtrooms all across America, you know, representing George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Trayvon Martin, Malcolm X's family, some of the most landmark historic cases in American jurisprudence. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted the book to ring to that, there ring true. So when I was thinking about the title, I remember my grandmother once saying, what's worse than a lie? That is to tell the truth and have nobody believe you. So when people read the book, it gets so much deeper. After Hollis Montrose, this Black police officer, is shot 10 times on the very night of the 2008 presidential election, where Barack Obama became the first black president in the United States of America's history. And he is shot those many times, survived, but then they try to accuse him of a crime. And he's telling the truth, and it doesn't matter because the criminal justice system has conspired to oppress the truth. So our superhero lawyer, our protagonist, attorney Bo Lee Cooper, which is our Black Perry Mason character in this franchise, he comes and he has to fight to get justice for Hollis Montrose. And he learns very early on in this legal thriller that to beat a broken system is going to take more than just the truth. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the title stands for. And it's based on so much reality, what is my experience right. as a lawyer. Because we have sisters and brothers who in every city, in every state, in every courtroom in America, they go and they are forced to lie on themselves and enter into trumped up plea agreements. And I do mean trumped up plea agreements, where they understand the alternative, that if they roll the dice and they go to trial, it is very likely that they would end up spending decades in prison for a crime that they did not even commit. And that's worse than a lie.
Wow. Definitely, you speak a lot of your grandmother. And can you speak to that?
Yeah, my grandmother was brilliant. She, like so many grandmothers, they just are brilliant. My grandmother only had a third grade education, but she had that common sense wisdom. I think she's wiser than any person I've met on the face of the earth, lawyers, PhDs, scientists. She was just very wise. And my mother raised me and my two little brothers as a single parent. So she had to work two jobs, cleaning hotel rooms in the morning and then working at the Converse shoe factory in the second shift in our small town of Lumberton, North Carolina. So I spent a lot of time with my little brothers and my cousins and everybody being raised by my grandmother. And thank God for the wisdom and everything she poured into me. I mean, she was the kind of wise person. I'm sure a lot of your audience has grandmothers like this. I remember it was raining real bad one day, and it was thundering and lightning and so forth. And so we told my grandma, I said, "Grandma, man, it's raining bad out there. Look how bad the weather is. I don't think we can go to school today." And my grandmother, without missing a beat, Zach, she said, "There is no such thing as bad weather. There are only people who did not properly prepare for the weather that day." And I said, "Man, we can't get nothing over on this old lady." But that was the brilliance of my grandmother, who taught me so many things in life. She taught me when you're in a courtroom, whether you're talking to anybody, she said, "Hold your head up, look them directly in the eye, and project your voice." Mm-hmm. I didn't need law school to teach me that. I didn't need trial practice. Now, that was my grandmother, this black lady who was able to make miracles every day with almost nothing. And so that is one of my sources of inspiration and why I think I've been so successful in winning so many multi-million dollar verdicts, because my grandmother taught me how to communicate properly. And she taught me, Zach, how you speak truth to power when you get a chance.
That's amazing. And definitely when it comes to preparation, my understanding is you put some time into authoring the book.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I started writing the book in 2020, and I thought it might take me 6 months, but it ended up taking me 5 years because life doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, during 2020, I said I could write it because the pandemic has shut everything down. So I said, I'm going to have some time to be able to write the book. But it seemed like everything in America shut down because of the COVID pandemic, except racism and police brutality. Because I start writing the book, and man, then we get the call on Ahmaud Arbery, the young man in Brunswick, Georgia, who was lynched for jogging while black, not in 1949 and 1950, but in 2020. In our time, they did that. So I had to stop what I was doing and go to Brunswick and deal with that. in the midst of the virus where we are all supposed to be sheltering at home. Okay, finally get over that. Come back, Zach. I'm home. I'm starting to get my groove writing the book. And then my dear friend, attorney Lonita Baker, who is the president of the National Bar Association at the time, she calls me and she says, you know, Ben, there's this young sister who is a college student named Breonna Taylor. And she was in her own apartment minding her own business when the police came in at 1 o'clock in the morning executing an unnecessary, unjustifiable, and an unconstitutional no-knock warrant and mutilated her body with 8 bullet holes while she was practically naked in her nightgown. And she said, nobody seems to care, Ben. Nobody seems to care. And for that reason that I told my wife, my family, you know, I'm a father of a girl. And so this could have been any of our children. And so I had to go to Louisville, Kentucky. And, you know, we fought to make everybody say her name, Breonna Taylor. Oprah Winfrey bought all the billboards and started a national movement. And regrettably, 2 weeks ago, the Department of Justice under the Trump administration did something unprecedented in many people's regards. Even though they had convicted 2 of the police officers, they went and dismissed all the charges. And so that's why we have to keep fighting so hard. So I go to Louisville, stay there for a month. I come back, I start writing the book. And I'm getting my groove and, you know, obviously I got all the emotion of Breonna with me. So I'm pouring it into the book. And then I get a call from the family of George Floyd. And I see the torture video of where George Floyd was literally tortured to death by Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin with his knee on his neck for 9 minutes and 29 seconds. And so then I end up going to Minneapolis for almost 3 months fighting for George Floyd, having everybody say, I can't breathe. And all the while, I'm trying to write Worse Than a Lie. But unfortunately, they kept killing black people. And, you know, we have a calling. I'm never confused about what my mission in life is. And so we have to answer the bell. And so the book, in many ways, though, was therapeutic because it allowed me to be able to write about a justice system that we all endeavor to see for America to live up to its promise of equal justice under the law. And I think that's why the book has been received so well. One of the reviewers said that it's not only a wonderful legal thriller, but she said it's wrapped in black culture and it's a historical footnote for American society.
Well, yeah, it brings me to my next question. It's how do you carry the emotional burden of your work? I mean, it's almost part diary or just how do you, you know, people bring the biggest challenges to you.
Yeah. And, Zach, we write about it a lot in the book. And Thurgood Marshall, my personal hero, I'm a student of history, so I would read about Justice Marshall. And he talked about how, you know, you have to compartmentalize. Obviously, you would be less than human if you didn't have some kind of mental anguish and trauma of seeing the pictures of Breonna Taylor, that college student, that black princess laying in that hallway with her body riddled with bullets. You can't remove that picture from your mind, the picture of George Floyd saying, I can't breathe, and calling for his mama at the end. But what Thurgood Marshall did, said you had to compartmentalize it, because back in his day when he was fighting in the 40s and 50s before he became the first black Supreme Court justice, he was fighting against black men being lynched and castrated, hanging from trees. And so even though it was very emotional, he said you have to keep your eyes on the prize so we can try to prevent future lynchings. And I'm fighting to try to prevent future hashtags as much as I can. So even though we're dealing with families who are dealing with things that make no sense at all, and they're looking for me to try to help them, give them some sense of what's happening, I have to control my emotions and keep my eyes on the prize so I can try to give them some kind of crutch to help get them through the worst times of their lives.
Yeah, that's compartmentalizing is important. And just the challenges that you're brought in, it's, you're filling a very important position now as, you know, the civil rights lawyer that is leading the charge as we move into the future, what will future civil rights lawyers, you know, face as challenges?
Well, you know,
if they choose to step into the seat.
Well, I wrote this book to inspire the next generation of civil rights lawyers, much in the way that To Kill a Mockingbird inspired me. And when you see some of the reviews and the comments, a lot of them talk about Worse Than a Lie being one of those books that a lot of lawyers hope in the future will refer back to as, this is the reason I went to law school, because I want to believe in this American notion, this American principle of equal justice under the law for every American. And, you know, now what we're dealing with ICE and so many other things, I mean, the attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion, the attacks on Black literature and Black history, talking about you can't teach it in the classrooms. These are the times that try men's souls. I believe, Zach, that during these unprecedented times, we must stay the course. We must rise to the challenge and do like Frederick Douglass said, understand that without struggle, there can be no progress. So don't get discouraged by the struggle. No, we must celebrate the struggle. We must always fight and go to the front line in the struggle, because as long as we're struggling and we're not waving the white flag and we're not surrendering, it gives our children a better chance for a better future for tomorrow. And our children are worth the fight. And so that's what we got to keep doing. And I do believe, Zach, we will tell stories about how we survived these discriminatory, unconstitutional attacks on our dignity and our culture and our heritage. And when we tell these stories, they will become the training manuals for future civil rights lawyers and social justice warriors. So that's why we stay the course. And we keep our head high, and we are unapologetic that Black lives matter, brown lives matter, red lives matter, white lives matter. But when you are unapologetic in your white supremacist beliefs, we must be unapologetic defenders of Black life, Black liberty, and Black culture. And so I'm very clear on what my mission is.
Mr. Crump, you're definitely an inspiration to many, and you're definitely, you know, I would say carrying a torch that needs to be carried in such an important time. And I truly hope you are inspiring a number of future Black attorneys and people to continue to carry your message forward, as you're carrying the message of many greats forward.
Absolutely. You know, now more than ever, civil rights matter. And hopefully Black, white, brown lawyers, everybody feels the calling to say, you know, civil rights are worth fighting for, because we don't want to end up becoming a totalitarian government. We believe in democracy.
For sure. And we've hit on so many areas where, I mean, you shared secrets to your success, how you essentially compartmentalize and carry forward, and you're never going to surrender. You're going to continue to just inspire many and fight the fight that needs to be fought. With that being said, you know, definitely have to ask, what is the secret to you driving results when it comes to either your personal, your business life, just in personal life in general? Because there's got to be a lot of crossover, because you don't rest. There's no way.
No rest for the weary, as they say. You know, so much of who I am and what I am, I attribute back to my upbringing, my mother, my grandmother. And so I go in understanding perspective. What things are done to you and happen to you can change you, but you can never let it reduce you and who you are. So My mother said to me when I was a young boy, she said, life ain't fair. She said, life is hard. You make it fair by what you bring to the table. And she said, if you don't bring anything to the table, don't expect anybody to let you sit down at the table. So part of my success is always trying to bring something to the table, not expecting a handout from anybody. I remember my mother also told me that education was something to bring to the table, because once you get it up here, she said, nobody can ever take it away from you.
That's
and
true.
So, Zach, I believe that's one of the foundational principles to my success. Always bring something to the table.
Mr. Crump, truly an honor. Definitely appreciate you joining us on the Firm Report. And thank you for all the work that you
do. It's an honor, brother.
Thank you.
The Firm Report, brought to you by Exalts, a full-service digital marketing agency helping law firms reach new heights.